All right, let's see if we can define that machlokas that's brought down the Rimigash, right, on Mem Aleph and Mem Aleph and Shuas. And the Rambam quotes the whole question in Toin in Malva Veloda, Perek Yud Daled, Halacha Beis and Gimel, basically, yeah. And it's interesting. He's not totally committal to all of you. I mean, he's just lezed daiti nota. So it's a big question, not a simple question. Okay, so what is the question again? The question is based on the Gemara over here with Rav Papa and the Malitz, that the Gemara says, Papa says, if the lova, if the malva produces a shtah, and the lova claims it was paid, right? Without any evidence, of course. He just claims it was paid. And Rav Papa says that the Beis Din will tell him first, pay up. Okay, because he can't, he's not neman against the shtar. But if he insists and he says, no, I want him to take a shvur and be notel, the Beis Din will place the obligation, the fee of shvuah, on the on the malveh, and he'll only be able to collect with a shvuah. Okay, so the somehow or other, the lova gets the option to insist on a shvuah from the malveh, right? That's Rav Papa, and that's what distinguishes this case from the shtar, from the pogam. Right, because pogam that's Perek Yudal, that's where he comes in, and basically the malveh admits that he already got partial payment. Then, based in of their own, will insist that the malveh take a shvuah. Okay, but over here, it's only at the taina of the loveh that the based in will force the malveh to take the shvuah. Okay. And a couple of points over here, right? First of all, the Rimigash and the Rambam and the Rif, they all everyone's they hold that this is a regular Shuas Hadayanim with Nikitas Chafetz, right? It's a Shuas Hadayanim with Nikitas Chafetz, and they emphasize that since he's a Nishva Venotel, there's never a Nishva Venotel. That is not with Nikita's chayfetz, except for the mepach shua of the hesed. Right. We have to just think about that. What exactly the emphasis is? Okay, but I mean, all of these questions roll into one, I think. And but the question, the machlokas that I was referencing before is what the Rambam mentions in Halacha Gimel. That this din of Rav Papa, is it limited to cases of parua, or is it any kind of a claim that the loveh lodges against the shtar of the malva itself? What if the loveh says that shtar was is mezuyif in some way, okay, or any kind of things, or amona, whatever it might be? Klal shel davar, Ram says he's toein taina. He's making a claim that would nullify the validity of the shtar itself. Okay, so that's what the Rambam of the Rambam said, and the Malva says no, it's a good shtar. Okay, so the Rambam says that's a machlokas in the Gaon. Do we learn from Rav Papa's case to all challenges against the Malva, or only the challenges of Parua? Okay, so the Ram says some say, yeah, some say shechayev ke'ein shel Torah, and it would be the shvu of Rav Papa. Kimisha, that's what some go on and say, but his Rebbeim held that it's dafka the taina of Perot, because he's moda in the shtar, and the shtar is for Piron. That's what Ram says. But all of these other tainos, lo kol himenu levatel shtar mekuyim. He has no ability to be mevatel. Eliyashalem. And then if he wants, he can bring another case against him. But he can't just make a shua. He can't just force him to make a shua. So those are the questions over here. In other words, what's this idea of what's the difference between Rav Papa's din and the regular pogim shtar? That's an optional idea. That he has the option to insist on a shua. And the question also, I mean, I'd like to understand a little better of the idea that the only time he's a nishpa of a no-tail, it always has to be in the Nikitas Chepetz. And this machlok is over here in the Gaonim of what's the extent of the din of Rav Papa. And where's Rav Papa from, as you ask it? Where's Rav Papa's din from at all? So what do you say over here? I mean, I thought you were going to another point, but an interesting point that the Rav makes is also like the shvuah to the challenge that he paid is new information. I mean, that's a shvuah that is on a different issue than the shtar itself. But what's the shvuah on the shtar? Correct, but the shtar doesn't say if it's pura or not.
Right,
but for the guy to take a shvuah on the eidus that's already extant, say the eidus is eidus, so that's a funny kind of a shvuah. It's like the shvuah is supporting the eidus for the ones who argue on the Gaon, right? For the other side, like what kind of shvuah is that? Yeah, well, you nishpan eidah. It's an interesting
really
point.
about an intervening event, not really about the
Let me try something over here. Okay, I'll just back up to the original question. Let's go back to the original question. What's this insistence that there's never a nishpa of a no-tell without Nikita's type? Except for the Hesed, except for the Hepach of the Hesed. Okay. So why don't you say that the Hesed, that is the nishpa of a no-tell of the Hesed, is how do you differentiate that nishba no from, let's say, this nishba? Like in both cases, the hepach shu of the hesed, and this case of nishba no of Rav Papa. Basically, in both cases, it was something that the nitan invoked to force the toveya to take a shvuah. Yeah, I understand the cases in the Mishnah that they say that's the ikar din. The ikar din is your nishba no, so that's a takana. That's built into the idea of the Netilah, demand intrinsically. But over here, both of these are just simply contrived cases where it happens to be, it turns out you have to take a shur to take. But it's not Maker Adin. It's not like this case can't. So what's the difference? So what's the difference between saying the Mepach through of the Hesed? That can be a Nishva V'Nota without Nikita's Chepetz. But this din of Rav Papa, of forcing him to take a shua at your request, that has to be Nikita Chepetz. Okay, so let's take the nishpa of a note. Let's take the Hesed case. So we're saying Hesed is what? And really, midaraisa, he should be potter completely from tashlum, right? Because he has nemanis through the kohen gadol. Okay, fine. So midin tikkun olam. They impose the chovas shua on the nitan. Now, and they say what? Take the shua or pay. Correct? Take the shua or pay. So what does that mean? He really is potter. What's that payment? What is that payment? Right? He really is potter mefirdin. So basically, it means like this: that midin tikkun olam, they instituted a shua on the proceeding. Right, a shvuah on the proceeding, and it's his role to execute that. But he can remove himself from the chovah of the shvuah. He can either take the shvuah and fulfill the obligation, or he can be mishalem and essentially forfeit his claim, right? And remove himself from the chovah shvuah. The tashlumin is a way to remove himself from the shul. Like the Rav says, it's a double pasha. I mean, the shul midaraisa is is different than the Shur of the Rabbanan. Right? Over here, he really is a over there. You say he really is chayav to pay, but the Shur can pater him, right? But over here, he's really pater from paying, but he's chayav a Shur. The only thing is, if he's mishalim, he gets himself out of the Shur, and if he refuses, he'll have a consequence for violating. But the only thing is, there's another thing he can do. He can say to the Koveya, since essentially the touch movement of this case is in my hand, because I have the prerogative of being putter with a shvua or removing the claim with the or satisfying the claim. I can satisfy the shvua, I can satisfy the claim. Those are the two alternatives. He can have a third alternative. He can say, I will conditionally, essentially, be a moda if you take the shvua. It's like a hodos with the shvua. Okay, and I will, and the hesed in that case, the hepach shvua of the hesed is not a din of ne'amonus of the toveya. It's a din that it's in the nitan's court, and he has essentially three options. He can satisfy the chov shvua. He can satisfy the claim, or he can conditionally be, he can be a mode with the condition of the towing the shvua. Okay, but essentially all three of them, the shvua and the mamon that he pays is not midin shvua. It's not a nishba
v'noto. It's a nishba and then the job.
Yeah, right. It's not a nishba. He's not going to be not noto from the force of the ne'amonus of the shvua. It's he can say, look, I'm willing to give up if you'll take the shvua. I have the obligation of shvua. I'm willing to shift. If I shift the burden of the shvua, this is my condition. I'll be mocha. Whatever it is, I'll be moda. You understand? But a nishba, so that's never nikita's chayva. Because that's not a shvua of ne'amonos that the din is being machriya the din on the ne'amonos of the shvua. That's essentially a private arrangement between the nitan and the tohen. Okay? So that's not Nikita Sefetz, because Nikita Sefetz is always when the shvua is a din in the taina, and part of the proceeding of the din, and then being machri on it. So then it has to be part. Nikita Sefetz means it's in the tekes of the din. It has to have the Nikita Sefetz, right? Based in his mashpia, and
the original has to
because we're saying that's a separate din takana that really. Really, midin tikkun olam. We want the proceedings to have a stamp of approval, but it's not part of. It's not in the shakli vitaria of the. It's not what we're going to believe his claim with the shul.
The hotel was not being
so added on.
What's that? It's added on. Correct. That's the approach we take. So what happens over here with the Rapapa? What happens with the Rapapa? So what I want to say is like this. Why I say the same thing? The guy comes with a shtar. The nitan says it was paid, and basically, why can't you interpret when he says I'll pay you with the, take a shua and I'll pay like some kind of an admission, like some kind of a like the hesed guy. If you take the shua, I'll pay. So why is that Nikita Sefetz? Why isn't that just he agrees if he takes the shul, he'll pay? What do you need Nikita Sefetz for? If it's the Nitan himself who's saying, if you take the shul, I'll pay. Right?
Nitan has to pay anyway.
Not if he tells him to take the shul. Right, okay. Okay. Ah, so that's the thing, right? So by the Hesed, he had the option to get to not to get at it. The Tashlumen was really in his control. So now it's something that he can bargain away. Because he had the ability to control the outcome, so to speak, right? So now he can, part of his controlling the outcome is to make it totally on his shua, right? But you're right. But over here, the Nitan really does not have the power to control the outcome. Because in his position, he has to pay, right? So what power does he have? That's the question. Right. So I say it like this. Take the case of Pogam Shtar, the original case of Pogam Shtar. Yeah. So this is an interesting feature of Shtar. And that is that the Eidus and the Shtar, right, the Shtar is Kibu Nechreidus and the Basin. That's good. No question that the Eidus and the Shtar is 100%. The only thing is, what does the Eidus do, right? The Eidus is to a prior event of the Halva. And he's claiming that it was paid. It doesn't contradict the fact that there was a Halva, right? Okay. But 1 second, hold on. Yeah. But there's an umdana. There's an umdana that what are you doing with the I forget the lashon. Shtarech biyadi ma. You know, why do I have your star in my hand if you already bought it essentially? You were saying if you paid for it already, right? So really the way the person is collecting is because there's aidus to the event of the halva, and there's a certain umdana that since he still has that document that memorialized the event. The event is still extant, essentially, right? But there's not an edus on that per se. That's part of the umdana of the shtar. So now pogeya shtar means that umdana is no longer accurate because the umdana is greater than the reality, than the admitted reality. The umdana is to everything, right? And the admitted reality is to less. So there's some kind of a there's not a complete umdana to rely on. Okay. Yeah. So then what do we do? So what is the din in that case? So what is the din? That if the malva takes a shvua that it wasn't paid. Right, then we'll believe him. Okay, good. But what do we believe? What is the din going to be?
Before my din, or
so that's what I'm saying. I'm saying it's a different thing. In other words, now we're going to essentially step off of the. If I just come with a shtar, right? I'm working on. The hafraz din is built into the shtar. Everything is in the shtar. Okay. I don't essentially you say the Talmud doesn't have to really say anything. Okay. He just can't destroy the validity of the shtar. But once he's a pogim shtar, once he's pogim shtar chavero, now based on the saying, we will only be machriya the din not on the shtar. But on the nemonis of your taina shtar. Now is a different thing. Now you have a taina of the shtar. Because the shtar itself is not omed. The shtar itself is not mukra. The shtar itself is not mosiach the entirety of its contents. Because there's an admission that it's less valuable than it says. So therefore, the din is now based and will not be machriya the din in the shtar alone. There'll only be machriya the din. On the ne'emonis of the taina of the mouth. But his taina only has ne'emonis through shua. So if he now makes a taina that none of it is collected, or whatever the remaining amount is owed, is not collected, so now the basin is really going to be machriya on the ne'emonis of his taina. But the only way to have ne'emonis of the taina is shua. Okay, good. So now the question is like this. So Rav Papa has a chiddush. Rav Papa's din is like this. And I agree. Tosis is good finding a good why. But I'm still looking for the what. But you can say that it's up to the basin to decide how valid such a claim is. But they have the option to say we are going to move the din off of the umdana of the shtar and demand to be machriya the din on the taina of the lova as well, on the taina of the malva. That's Rav Papa's idea. He says if the malva comes in with the shtar and the lova says parua, okay, so basically we'll say, well, we're still working on the shtar. We're still arguing on the shtar. The shtar says it's kayam. You're saying it's not. That's fine. But what is he saying when he says, swear to me? Basically, what Rav Papa is saying is if the Lova is insisting that he wants the hachroa to be on the taina of the malva, not just on the document of the shtar, he has that right. But once he's elevating it above the shtar and including taina, then the Ein Basin accepts that. Now the din is going to be on the ne'amonus of the malva's taina, which is a nishba v'notel of a shuos pogim shtar. That's the zechus they gave him. Why? I don't know. But they gave him the zechus to essentially lift the hafra off the page of the shtar and include the... I would say maybe no basis in this particular case, but in apparently the reality of the historical setting is that, like Tosa says, these things happen. These things happen. So that's that, right? That's it. But what I'm trying to say is, it's not just that he's saying pay with a shvua. Because maybe you can say, well, that's just like an extraneous stamp of approval on what we would do. That sounds like Hesed. But no, Rav Papa is saying he has the ability through his taina, and it's not just the taina against the shtar. He has the ability when he says, take the shua, he can insist that the ne'emonus of the tovei, of the malveh should also be included in the din, not just the document itself. And that, but any time that you're motzi mamon on a ne'emanus of shvua, that has to be Nikita's chesed. Hesed is not. Hesed is not motzi mamon on a ne'emanus of shvua. So what's the machlokus in the Rambam? What's the machlokus with the Rabosai? It's an interesting question. Question is, once you see from this case of Rav Papa that they give him the right to insist on a din that's based on the claim of the malveh without the shtar, essentially, does he have the right to insist on that? Is that an absolute right? Meaning, even when the shtar, even when he's making a claim that he has no ability even when it's a claim that's against the shtar. Or is it dafka when it's when he's including a taina that's like you were saying. In other words, is it like reinstating the umdama? Because every toein, every guy who produces a shtar, every malva, because of his taina, is essentially invoking the umdana. That why would he have it if his taina wasn't true? Because the face of the shtar is not saying that it presently owes money, it's his holding of it and enforcing it. So is this din of the is this optional din of Rav Papa to elevate or to expand the to insist that the din be decided on the taina of the malveh? Only in terms of the necessary taina that already exists, or even on a taina that is contradictory to the shtar. I have to think about that last point a little bit. So it's my intuition on it. So let me just clarify the thing. In other words, whenever the guy presents a shtar, correct, there's avis to the event, and then there's an umdana that he still owes it because he's holding it. So when a regular loveh says, I already paid it, that taina is essentially being answered. That claim is being answered just from the umdana. Right? So as Rav Papa is saying, well, we'll no longer rely on the umdana to satisfy the claim of parua. He can insist that the claim of parua should be addressed from the malva himself, or is Rav Papa representing a general idea that anyone who's coming with a shtar, the lova has the right to insist that the din, so to speak, could be decided even without the shtar. In other words, like this: at the end of the day, what Rav Papa is saying is he can kind of, he is getting to the point where the din is being decided on the level of time. But what access does he have to invoke that right? Must it be a legitimate claim that normally is satisfied by umdana, and now we'll insist on a higher degree to satisfy that claim, right? But if he can't make, but if there's no claim he can make, like mezuyah, that's not a claim any towing, any mal, any lova can make. So that's lav kol kamine. So you don't have anything for us to enhance. It's kind of like he's gonna he can insist on an enhanced answer to his claim of perua. Not going to rely on the umdana of shtar biyadcha. Will insist on the taina of the malv himself. But essentially that means he has the right to demand proof above the shtar. So what if he makes a claim that he just doesn't believe the shtar? So that's what the Rambam's not sure about. It could be that our answer to him has to be a valid claim that he's making that will insist on a higher degree of an answer. Or it could just be that he has the right to say, I want it from his mouth. I want it from his mouth.
Interesting.
In other words, I think it's like you were saying before. Is Rav Papa saying he can demand that the umdana be answered from the malva himself, as opposed from relying on the shtar? And that's the back and forth. First, they tell him pay. That's alpi umdana. He says, I don't want to do alpi umdana. I want him to swear. And then, meaning, I want to demand on the collection of the pogim shtar. And for some reason, they gave him access to the din of pogim shtar. I don't think it's a new takana. I think they have the right to say, we will elevate this case to the level of taina, and will, or elevate it lower, whatever you want to put it. And therefore, that's why the Rimei Gash says, oh, but it's like pogim shtar. That's why it also has to be Nikita Seifetz. Because essentially, with Pope held, he can access the din of pogim shtar. Because Beis Din can decide, we're not going to decide it on the umdana of shtar. Oh, well, that's like, then there's already an institution for that. That's pogim shtar. You know what I'm saying?
Judging on the pleadings, not the other.
Exactly. So, but the question is, so does Rav Papa represent that? But then, if there's nothing but that would only be a taina that's harua, or is he basically representing an idea that they can decide the claim simply? He can insist that the case be decided simply on the pleadings. Well, the other way is kind of like we'll insist on the actuality we'll insist on the umdana being satisfied from the claim, or the whole case is really just being satisfied by the claims. If the whole case is being satisfied by the claims, then it doesn't matter if it's, then basically you are jettisoning the shtar. So if you're going to jettison the shtar at his request, what's the difference between this and this? So there's an interesting case. Maybe we'll take a look at it an interesting contradiction in the Rambam. With you have a star with 1 8 on it. Apparently, there's a little refinement on it. Stuff. Take a look. There's a contradiction. He says, if you have a star with 1 8, so then it's in Malvalova. So in the end, in Perek Yudalek, he says like this: Halacha Yud. Hotziel of star chov eid echad, valova ton porati. I raise a mechuy of shavua vein yochel yishava umishalem. Oh boy, again, it's that stuck in that problem again. Yud dalad yud. Okay, so in other words, you have a star with 1 8. Interesting. What's a star with 1 8? Right? Star chov be'ed echad. And the lova says, I paid it already. Right? So basically, he has a. So Rama says he's mechuyav shavua because he has an eid echad against him. Ve'eino yochel lishava because the eid is, I guess, on the halva. He can't. He's not denying the halva. He's saying parati.
Wait, why can't he? How is he not? Why can't he?
I think because that's not what the eid is saying.
The
Yes, the swear to contradict the aid.
Right. The only shuv of an aid echad. Right.
Right.
He says, "Ta'an v'amar yishav alishalo pirativ hariz a nishba," but he can force the other guy to take the shua.
Of course, because even with two eidim.
Shafilu hayibishar shnei eidim. Did you write this? V'amar yishav alishalo pirativ hariz a yishav akvashim me'arnim. Okay, but if take a look in Perak Beis.
What was I going to say there?
Take a look in Perak Beis. Is it Perak Beis?
Yes,
which part in parentheses? The contradiction, I have to find the other Rambam, but it's where he has a star written in his own handwriting without an aid. Okay. The Magi Mishnah brings down the contradiction. I thought it was in Perak Beis, but he says if he has a star in his own handwriting, so that's basically like Eidus, right? That says that he owes money. So then the Rambam says he can't force him, and he claims it was paid. He can't force him to take a shua.
If the borrower hand wrote the star and gave it to the lender, that has more weight.
And generally, we say those are equal. In other words, generally, we'll say if I write in my own handwriting, I owe so and so money, and he produces that, that's like a star. Okay, it's not a star. It has a din of metal. It has a din of a malval peh.
Okay, we're around no yibud.
Yeah, it's no yibud, but it's eidus. But it's essentially eidus.
Yeah, but we're not assuming that there's an eid. That's what we're saying. On that document.
I'm sorry. It's Perak Yudal. Yudal.
You know.
Perak Yudal. Right. Perak Yudal of halacha gimel.
And that instrument, there's no witnesses.
Right, exactly. Hotziol of ksav yado shehu chayev lo ve'ein sham edim. Right, alpha pi shehu ksav yado beist. Arezo kemilva al peh lechol davar ve'im to'an shepora nishba heset v'nifta. Okay, so why? What's the difference? In two cases, the same thing. Guy is coming to the beist with a shtar. Either it has one aid, which is not a real shtar, right, or it has ksav yad. If it has one aid, the Rambam says the lova can force the malva to take a shua that it wasn't paid. But if it's b'ksav yad, he can't. He does say he can take a shua hesed and be a potter, but he can always. But that's because if there's no aid in him, not the Jew. So why are you saying, what bothers the Magen Mishnah is why are you saying in both cases, essentially the problem is, if it was true, you would have taken it back. I mean, all of this is working on that umzum. That if you really paid it and you had the document against you, you would have taken it back.
What difference does it make?
So what's the difference if it's evidence by his handwriting or an eid echad?
Right,
it's difficult. It's difficult. Let's take a look at the Magen Mishnah. He takes up the contradiction. But anyway, yeah.